Good morning. I'm a bit nervous this morning, so if I look up, a little smile would be really nice, okay? Or a thumbs up or something, that would be lovely. We're continuing our series on getting ready for, and as Jeremy said, we've been asked to speak on getting ready for salvation. I think I've spoken, last time I spoke, I mentioned about feeling inadequate to speak and to share, and I suppose for both me and Amy, nothing's really changed there. We still feel inadequate. But the good thing is that our God hasn't changed either. He's still strengthening us when we're weak, encouraging us as well. I'm going to start just with a couple of verses from Acts. The first, Acts 2, verse 21. Pentecost has happened and Peter is addressing the crowd. And just at the end of his address, he ends with, "And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." I love that word, everyone. Not just the people sitting on the front row, Jeremy, but the people sitting at the back in the middle includes everybody. The second scripture is Acts 4, verse 12. And it's again Peter speaking. He's speaking to the elders and the rulers of the people. And he says, "Salvation is found in no one else. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." No other name but the name of Jesus. We're just going to start with this morning as well.
There is a light that shines in the darkness. There is a light that shines in the darkness. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus, the light of the world. There is a light that shines in the darkness. There is a light that shines in the darkness. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. Of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father who is in heaven.
Everyone loves a bit of Delirious. if I was cleaning the house in the kitchen, and me and Isla found ourselves jumping up and down to I Found Jesus. So if you're not sure what to listen to one day, why don't you try a little bit of Delirious? I'm not ashamed to say that Jesus is the light in my darkness. He guides me, he protects me, he shows me how to be light to other people. Jesus is the light of the world, but he also calls us to be light to others around us, to point them in the right direction, to love them like Jesus loves us. I'm going to lay down a challenge straight away this morning, speaking to both me and Amy, but to us as well. What are we doing with our light? Are we hiding it underneath a bowl, or are we popping it on a stand for everyone to see? Now, if you remember, if you've seen the film Mick Dundee, when he's just about to get mugged and this guy comes up with a knife and he says, "Give me your money." And then Mick Dundee says, "That's not a knife. That's a knife." And he pulls out almost like a machete. And I want to say, that's not a torch. That's a torch. This morning. And some of you might know, I'm a community nurse. And when we start in the community, they give us lots of things, blood pressure, cuff, all these kind of things. And they give us one of these. And it takes up half of my boot. And it costs me a lot more money in petrol as well. And they use it. We go out to the likes of Tenterden and Wittersham and Charing and Pluckley. And it's, you know, 10 o'clock at night and it's really dark. We're going along our cars. They haven't even got house numbers. And we're looking for the name of the house as we go by. I'm sure they think we're trying to burgle people. But after about 3.5 minutes, this thing runs out of battery because it's so big. So they've given us a car charger and a battery charger. And actually, you know, when it's not plugged in, it doesn't work. For us, we need to be plugged in to God. We need to be as bright as we can, because after 3.5 minutes, we're going to run out. Amy.
Okay, good morning. So, thank you. As you can probably tell already, Phil and I are very passionate about this subject. We want to see people that we love and care for come to a faith in Christ Jesus. We want to see our neighbours, our friends, our work colleagues, people in need come to salvation. I'll make sure I click. And that is exactly what God has called us to do. The Great Commission, you can read it here. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God calls us to spread the good news of his salvation. So I've been challenged over the past few years. When I became a Christian, I was aged 14, and I always had it on my heart, and my youth leaders, and then later on, other leaders within the church would encourage me to ensure that I had lots of non-Christian friends. I hoped that they would experience God's love through my actions, how I was, how I would talk about my faith and what God has done in my life, and that I would be able to pray that this would have an influence on them. And at times it did. It led to questions and great conversations. However, I would always shy away from being too direct. There was always this fear that if I was too direct with my friends, that they may stop being my friends, or they may not want to know about Jesus. I then realized that what I was doing was not giving them an opportunity to be able to see what God could do in their lives. I was not taking the opportunities that arose in the conversations to talk about what God could do for them. I would say, "I'll pray for you about that situation," or, "Yeah, I'll go home and I'll make sure I pray for you." What I didn't do was give them an opportunity to experience God's power by praying with them there and then. So in summer 2015, I was really challenged at a Christian camp. It's a Transform church camp that we go on once a year. I was challenged to be braver and step out more in faith. So when I got back, I went to the hairdressers, and some of you have heard this story. When my friend, she's a very good friend now, at the time she was a hairdresser for me, seemed really distressed about a situation that she was experiencing. My normal self would have said, oh, I'll make sure I pray for you about that. But I knew, and God was very much putting it on my heart to say, I'll pray for you now about that. So I took the brave step and I said, can I pray for you now, Claire, about that? And she said, yes, please. So we went out into the back room of the hair salon and we prayed together about the situation. And then after that, she came along to Alpha, and then she came along to the Journeys course and gave her life to the Lord. When we look back together, Claire and I, about how God has been on her case and the journey that she's experienced with God, she says to me that that time in the hair salon that we prayed together, she experienced a touch from God. She was able to experience God's power through us praying together. And that really gave her a longing to want to find out more. So, God wants to use us. If we read together in Romans 10:14, it says, How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? How can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. This morning we want to encourage you, and we hope that as we go on talking through this, to be braver, to be more direct. We all need to step out. We need to ask the right questions, and God wants to use us.
Thanks, Sam. There's just a couple of books that I want to recommend as well. We read one as the men's book group, Just Walk Across the Room, Bill Hybels. That's how it's present. Really, really good book. If you're not sure what to read at the moment, that's a good, easy read. I'm not a great reader, but have a little look at that. And also, Reaching Lost People, a couple in Salt and Light, Richard and Kate Colebrook. They've done a few sessions with different books, and this is another one. Really, I love books when they're nice and short. Really short book. One of the books I've definitely read all the way through. Have a little look, because that's really, really, really good. And I just want to read something, a couple of things from their book this morning. It says, the Father's readiness to receive lost people is seriously good news. Jesus came proclaiming his good news that God wants us to get involved in our lives and transform them. Jesus came proclaiming the good news that God's kingdom is close. His kingdom is about God ruling in human hearts. It's about that rule opening up the possibility of people living life in a full way. It is hugely optimistic. The kingdom comes into people's life, into person's life, as they start a relationship with the King. For us, therefore, as we help our friends to understand this, we become introduction agents, helping people to take the steps towards that point when they first meet the King. How do we do this? It starts by simply being friends. We become introduction agents. God calls us to be different. God calls us to be different. Not weird different. Not scary different. God calls us to be different. God calls us to be different, but normal. A friend of mine who's been in and out of church and that I'm aware of hasn't committed his life to God. And he came around our house a while ago and we started chatting, chatting about life, chatting about his work. And we got onto church and we got onto God. And the one thing that stood out to me during our conversations that he stopped us for a second and said, Phil, you're just normal. You're just normal with your relationship with God. And it made me think that this guy that I don't really see on a regular basis, that I don't spend loads of time with, but he was impacted by the way that I relate to him, the way that I live my life. With all my imperfections, with all my faults, with all my sinful nature, I am still a light carrier. We ended up praying for this guy. I never prayed for him before. I said, can we just pray for you? He said, yeah. At the bottom of our stairs, me and Amy just laid hands on him and prayed for him for about 5 minutes. We are light carriers this morning. Now, my wife would agree with this statement that Phil Coombs is very ordinary. She would. But God loves to use the ordinary. Robert Parker, you are very ordinary this morning. John Rawlings, you're very ordinary this morning. But God loves to use the ordinary. It's about us letting the Holy Spirit come over us, fill us, and through us, and we become different. We become different, but normal. And it's not about us, it's letting the Holy Spirit and the outworking of the Holy Spirit through us. Now, I know when I'm most effective for God is when I'm spending time with him, when I'm reading his word, when I'm plugged in so I'm not running out, and when I'm hearing his voice. I happened to be away when, or at working when James was speaking on the new normal, and I hope that you've still been challenged about what is your new normal. And I took the time to listen to it, and I was sitting in the kitchen listening to James rattle on, and then Isla came into the kitchen. She wanted a drink or a biscuit or tell me she's done a poo or something. And so I said, Isla, I said, who's that speaking? She went, that's Uncle James. I said, well done, it is Uncle James. Isla could recognise Uncle James's voice. She knows Uncle James. She spent time with Uncle James, Uncle James's family. Do we recognise God's voice when he speaks this morning? Are we listening for God's voice? Do we recognise it? Lookalikes. I know that Gary and Mark and maybe a bit of Fudgy like lookalikes occasionally. And if we go out somewhere, we think, oh God, he looks like so-and-so, a famous person. So we're going to do a couple of lookalikes this morning. I don't know who this handsome chap is coming on. So my brother-in-law have got a great lookalike for me. He always said so. Does anybody got any ideas what my lookalike is? Oscar, the Chelsea player. I didn't think that's quite a bad one, really. So we'll have a couple more. Mr. Graham Coombs. Has anybody got any ideas on Mr. Graham Coombs is? Maybe a bit more in his younger days. Mr. Frank Spencer. When Dad was a policeman, he was known as PC Spencer. So let's have another one. Let's have a last one. I couldn't miss out James. It's a bit of a younger folk beard at the moment. So for James, anybody? Harry Potter. The donkey out of Shrek. Now, I only got away with that because he's not here this morning. So, James, if you're listening, I still love you. But it's just to say, we haven't got to be anybody else but ourselves. You know, when you see people at the front or whatever it is, just be yourselves. And that's who God calls us to be. That's who he's created us to be, is ourselves. And Amy's going to come and share.
Okay, I'm going to share a story about how God used me being me. So I've got a friend who I've worked with for about 12 years, and we've worked together in different roles. And all the way through us working together, she knew I was a Christian, and there was one occasion where she had a relative that was dying, and she did ask me to pray for the relative, but that was about as much as it went. And then about 6 months ago, she phoned me, and it was a work issue. It was at work, and we discussed that case. And then afterwards, I said, oh, well, how are you? And she suddenly told me about a situation she was in that she hadn't expected to be in and that she was really struggling with. And it sort of came out of nowhere, because I said we were friends, but sort of work colleague friends. And so I was in an open plan office at the time. So I was quite careful what I was saying because I was sat by a lot of other work colleagues. But after the phone conversation, God gave me a massive nudge and said, Amy, you need to text her and you need to invite her to Journeys. It was a course that was running at the gate that was about to start in a couple of weeks. So I thought, okay, okay, I'll text her and I'll invite her along. So I text her and I said, you know, do you want to come along? We're doing this course at our church, and sort of apologise for the randomness of the text. And she texts back and she said, yes, I'd love to come. Great. Thank you, God. Really excited, encouraged. And then when it was the first Journeys course, I received a text from her. Something had come up at work. She was held up, so she couldn't make it. And then each Journeys course went on, each Journeys evening, there was something that stopped her from being able to come. And at that point, you start to question, God, you know, she said she was going to come, you put it on my heart to invite her, and now she is not coming. What's going on? Anyway, God kept her on my heart, and I knew that I needed to do something more. So I suggested that we went out for a meal together. And we did. I chose a restaurant that was happened to be in a location which was very significant for her. And clearly that's God working. And then after we'd had our meal together, I have to say during the meal, she was asking me loads of questions, and a lot of those really challenging questions about faith, about God, that we all sort of like struggled to answer. So I tried to give the best answers I could. We went on that. And then after we'd had a meal, we walked back to our cars. And I said, look, Lisa, I'd really love to pray with you. So we got into her car and we prayed together. And then I told her about the fact that Alpha was starting in September and asked her if she'd like to come. And she said, yes, I'd love to come. And I had to keep that. Okay, God, I'm going to keep the faith and that she will come after what had happened with Journeys. But God was working. So we had the summer holidays. We weren't in contact with each other over the summer holidays. And then September came. And we had been challenged, sort of a group of us, to really increase our fasting and to try and really fast and pray. And we had one day that we were fasting and praying. And at the end of the day, God said to me, you need to text Lisa and remind her that Alpha's about to start. I thought, okay. So I text her. I thought it was a bit late in the night, but anyway, I'll text her. And she texts straight back. I was about to text you to ask you when Alpha was starting. Oh, okay. So, brilliant. So she comes to Alpha. And the second session of Alpha, she gives her life to the Lord. And do you know the question that she asked me? Amy, how did you know to text me at the perfect time?
Just even hearing Amy say it again stirs something in my heart that, you know, God is doing something. And I can't remember whether it was Lisa or when Robin gave his life to the Lord or whether it was Claire. But I remember going back that home that night and I was absolutely spiritual buzzing. And I text three people at work, do you want to come to a Journeys course? And it's only the next day thinking, oh, I've texted those three people. What are they going to think? And they all came back to me and they weren't able to make it. But it's broken the ice for next time for me to go say, you know, when I text you, do you fancy coming along this time? So if it doesn't work the first time, go for it the second time. We are family on a mission. It's not just about Amy. It's just not about the individuals. It's not just about the people that do Alpha. It's us as a church. And I remember Mark Mumford coming to speak at Romney Marsh when we were there. And this has just stayed with me all that time. And he said, it's about us. It's about you and me being a little taste of heaven on earth. It's about how we live our lives. It's about revealing something of God. It's about us demonstrating something of God in our being and in our everyday, being that little taste of heaven on earth. So let's just consider the parables of the sower. And just for time, I'm not going to read all these, but you can find that in Matthew 13, Luke 4, Mark 4 and Luke 8. And if you get a chance this week, or maybe in your connect groups, you can read at least one of these this week. And Richard and Kate in their book mention the parable of the sower, which I'm just going to read. Sow lots because you don't know which seed will hit good soil. People surprise you. So we need a far more laid back attitude than is often the case in church outreach. We need to encourage a culture of let's have a go. Give it your best shot. If the idea works, great. If it doesn't, let's not beat ourselves up or spend months analysing in a minute detailed why it didn't work. Instead, let's try something else. Encourage you, have a go. If it doesn't work, just try something else. For weeks on my way to work, and I, for some reason, got out of the habit of doing it, I'll be driving along to work, not often with my eyes shut, but at least one eye open, praying to God, just saying, God, today at work, let me glorify you with my speech, my actions, my character, and my attitude. God, help me to be a light. Help me to be an influence. Help me to be an introduction agent. Not because of me, but because of what you are doing through me. Ephesians 5, straight away, talks about encouraging us to be imitators of God. And as I was saying earlier, I'm most effective when God, when I'm spending time with God, when I'm reading his word, and when I'm hearing his voice. And again, I know when I'm more effective is when I'm less sinful. Not sinless, because Jesus is the only one not of sin. So when I'm quicker to turn the TV off when a sex scene comes on, or when I'm quicker to turn it off when the lady starts to undress, or when I'm at work and I'm quick to change the conversation away from gossiping, or when I'm not getting involved with coarse joking, or when I'm quick to change what my mind is thinking or dwelling about, that I know that's when I'm more effective for God. God calls us to be different. He calls us to be imitators of God. And at the end of that chapter of Ephesians 5, it says verse 15 and 16, be very careful then how you live, not unwise, but wise, making the most of every opportunity. Making the most of every opportunity. Amy made the most of her opportunity. And I think if I was going to pray this morning, it would be, God, give us more opportunities so we can be different and express your love. To share your gospel, even if we don't take all those opportunities, give me more opportunities. Give me the words to say, help me to be myself. We don't need to water down the gospel this morning, because it is what it says it is. It's good news this morning. I've asked Robin if I could just say something about him, and he's given me the thumbs up, so it's fine. So let's just have a look at Robin this morning. A guy who was in a civil partnership, same-sex attraction, and God opens his eyes. I remember speaking to Robin when we used to work with one another 5-6 years ago, just driving along, having a good laugh like we always did. And he said, you know, Phil, I wouldn't choose this life. I wouldn't choose to be what I'm in at the moment. And he saw Amy and I and our kids as the perfect family. He saw something in us. He saw God working in our lives. And last week he got baptized. And we saw all the candidates getting baptized last week because of what the Holy Spirit, because of the power of the gospel in their lives. And if you were there, if you're not stirred by their public testimonies, then you need to check to see if you've got a pulse, because that is God doing something in their lives. The power of the gospel. Bring it in. Bring it on, Lord Jesus. Before Amy just comes and rounds up, we're going to watch a video. If the lights can go off, please, that would be great. Even just watching that clip again just stirs me. We're all running a race this morning. I just wanted to just repeat some of what they were saying. Johnny is losing his direction. He's staggered to a stop. His brother stops to carry his younger brother home. We have never seen anything like this before. Unbelievable scenes. Not only does he carry his brother home, sacrificial love, he pushes him over the finish line first.
Okay, it is. That clip is powerful. And it's, I think we can all think of those people that are on our hearts that we want to carry over, that line. And just felt God stirring me to say to you all that as I tell you stories about friends who have come to a relationship in Christ, I have a lot more stories of friends that I've asked to come along to things that I have asked and supported to try and help them to see Jesus that aren't there yet. I have ones that actually I know that they've made it quite clear, you know, don't want to talk about that at the moment. So I just want to encourage you with that. Okay. So, sorry, it looks like I'm completely changing the subject. Gardening. Those of you that know, my parents are very keen gardeners and they have amazing vegetable patches, fruit cages. You keep your fruit in a cage to stop the animals and birds eating the fruit, in case you wonder why they're keeping fruit in cages. And they are very good at what they do. So, you know, and I see the crops of pears, apples, raspberries, carrots, pumpkins, all this amazing fruit and vegetable, and I'm inspired. I think, yes, I can do this gardening thing. So I think, okay, I'm going to start small. I'm going to get myself a tomato plant. I'm going to get a nice hanging tomato plant that we can water together and the children can pick the tomatoes off and eat them together, and it's going to be really lovely. Okay, so what I quickly discovered was that I haven't really inherited the gardening gene. So that's what, after a few, I was going to say weeks, but it was probably days, my tomato plant started to look like. I was really disappointed. I was frustrated in myself. What was I doing wrong? Why did my tomato plant not look like what I thought it was meant to? And this is how I often feel as an evangelist. Previously, I would have never called myself an evangelist. I am no good at going up to strangers in the street and telling them about Jesus. I am not a theologian. I find that word quite hard to say as well. I find it hard trying to explain the parts of the Bible and giving good answers to those tough questions. I don't pray enough. I don't read my Bible enough. I don't fast enough. I watch too much TV. The list goes on and on as to why I struggle to call myself an evangelist. But then I realized God has created me as me. God has created you as you. And so I continued to be me in situations. But just as we have heard this morning, I was able to use the power that the Holy Spirit gives us and listen out and use those opportunities. Through God's power and guidance, I have been able to be braver and more direct with people. God has revealed to me who I need to ask those direct questions to, and also importantly, who I need to be patient with. So even though my tomato plant looked like that, it still produced amazing tomatoes. My tomato plant did not look like I thought it was meant to look like, but it still produced amazing tomatoes. I often feel inadequate and unsure how God is going to use me, but he does. What I do know is that it is only by the power of the Holy Spirit. And what Phil and I want to encourage you this morning is we are standing here feeling inadequate, but we know that the only reason that God uses us is because the Holy Spirit is within us. and that we have to stay in tune and we have to keep listening to God, and then we have to be brave and take hold of those opportunities. Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now this morning, Phil and I would love to pray for anyone who feels that they need a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit to give them that added confidence, that strength, that listening ear to really take hold of those opportunities that God gives us. We feel passionate about this subject because we want to see people be saved. Those people that have recently become Christians, the lady I was speaking about earlier, when I say to her, how do you feel now? She just speaks of the hope and the peace that Christ has given her. And we all want that for our friends and family. So I would encourage, and I'll hand over to Jeremy in a minute, but I would encourage that if anyone wants to come up for prayer, then we will pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit to give you that added confidence. But also we'd love to pray for you if you have people that are on your heart and you are struggling because you are not seeing breakthrough. We'd love to pray with you about that. And also, if you are wanting to know the hope and the peace that Christ can give you because you haven't yet received Christ into your life, we would love to pray for you. And actually, you'll take priority. So come up and wave that you want to receive Christ into your life, because this is good news and we need to be sharing it.